This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are on 107.7 WTPL-FM and streaming live on the World Wide Web at WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought. And we have trivia questions on there, so it's nice and interactive, and you win prizes. So get on over there and like our page. And Mike, would you like to welcome our guest?
I would.
Who brought all this, like, everybody's already, like, invaded the box.
She never comes empty-handed with her trademark, well, not trademark, but I guess very well known for her whoopie pies, longtime friend Martha May Fink. But it's really to call attention to a problem that doesn't seem to go away, and so she's very involved in making sure that no kid goes hungry through the Share Our Strength programs. And Taste of the Nation is coming up on Wednesday the 15th right here in Manchester. That's about a week and a half away. And Martha May Fink has been involved with that for many, many years. You were telling me 8 or 9 years, right?
Yes.
Nice and close to the microphone.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
We want everybody to hear you.
Yes, I became involved with Share Our Strength in 2007. A dear friend of mine. Here we go. I'm gonna have the microphone.
We told you.
Here we go. Told me about an article she saw in Rachel Ray magazine, who that year was the spokesperson from the Food Network for Share Our Strengths, No Kid Hungry, and she promoted a bake sale called the Bake Sale, then it was called the Great American Bake Sale, where it kind of empowered everyday people to hold a bake sale in their neighborhood, churches, wherever in their communities, and raise money for these funds. And I didn't know. I thought I had my finger on the pulse of a lot of different charity organizations, but I didn't realize that there were kids in America that were food insecure. That's what they call it.
That's
now.
The but, term, food
yes,
insecure?
Food insecurity, where so many kids were going to school hungry, were not getting after-school programs, were not having breakfast, and weren't getting the programs that they needed to grow and thrive. So it's hard enough on a kid to deal with an average school day, but to have an empty belly, it's just wrong. So when I realized that there was, if you want to say, a need for this, and I don't have an actual business, but I do have a trade name, and I could actually sell my products but then turn the money over to the charity, I thought, this is great. I want to do this. So the organization helped me with a portal where I could have an online site and a mailing list. This studio is kind of distracting, but in a very good way.
You have like a following out here already.
I should have brought more.
Well, yeah, we're in a glass studio inside the Beacon Building, and anybody that's walking on any floor can look down and can see what's going on.
No.
And it can be distracting. You're right about that.
No. This is great. So anyway, I put out a couple of tables and sent out some emails, and they helped me with the other tools and things that I needed. And oh, my goodness, I made $1,700 in just a few hours.
That was the first one?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
How long did it take to cook $1,700?
How did you do that?
Well, I took a couple of days, vacation days from the office, and I just baked like crazy. And I made the things that I knew how to make, and I made them all fresh just leading up to the bake sale time. And I didn't realize how many people I would have, so obviously I sold out. But it was fine. I also had the online element where people could donate for months and months. And so that actually attributed to that as well. But this year is my ninth year, 2015, and I will hit the $50,000 mark. So
somebody's holding up a sign that said what? So good. Better than grandma's.
That's
Who
my
are
mother.
All these people that.
That's my sister-in-law.
Oh, it is. All right.
It's all my family.
Oh. Martha is. Martha May Fink is joining us right now, and she's attracting quite a bit of attention because the whoopie pies are now being passed around the Beacon Building, and people are coming down with their comments. Old neighbors are swinging by to say hello. But the message is very serious. This is a way for you to make a difference for people that are looking to do something to make a difference in the world, this is how you found you could be most effective.
So, yes, actually, I can segue into my involvement with the bake sale for No Kid Hungry into Taste of the Nation. So Taste of the Nation is a nationwide event where local chefs and mixologists get together and host an event in one big room where you can sample, taste, and sip things from all over the state or all over the general area. And there, your ticket sales 100% go to the organization that helps kids in New Hampshire. So this isn't just it's a sad situation, but it's not just something that happens in some random village in Alabama. This is happening in our community, right down the streets. It's in our churches, it's in our schools, and I've seen the money go to work, either from bake sale or from taste.
And the number in New Hampshire of children is
17.
When I hear it, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, about 1 in 10, 17% of kids in New Hampshire are food insecure. So I am doing what I can individually and through the great partners that I'm with Taste of the Nation. My first time I attended Taste, I was so kind of exuberant, and Bill Shore was there, and I was very honored and happy to meet all the folks in the on the committee, and they asked me to join them. So they said, you'd be great in a hunger chair position because you're great at getting out and getting into the organization and letting people know that this is an issue. And if there's ever a person that's probably a poster child for I'm never hungry, it's probably me. So, but I like to do what I can to help the greater good. And I met Mike years ago when he talked about whoopie pies one time on the radio, and I said, I have to make some for him. So our friendship kind of went on from there. But
I still have that first whoopie pie, by the way. I didn't eat it. I put it aside. Like the first dollar you earn, I have it tacked to the wall in my kitchen.
Oh, well, gosh. You know, they do freeze well, I will tell you that.
Yes.
Now, has whoopie pies always been your, is that what you've always made? Is that your signature?
Yes. I have a fabulous recipe that actually I've changed throughout the years. I've just kind of made it my own. But it came from, the initial recipe came from a restaurant that I used to work at called the Sunny Villa Restaurant in Ossipee, New Hampshire on Route 16. And my mother actually worked for the original owners back in the 40s. And then I worked for the second generation family, and they were wonderful to us. But they used to make these whoopie pies, and then later on my sister actually had the recipe, but there were certain, I wanted to change it up a little. I wanted to make it a little healthier. I wanted the egg whites to be, sorry, I just gave that away. I wanted to have the filling more egg white based and, you know, less trans fats and that kind of thing. So through the years, you know, I've kind of changed it up. And I have different variations. I have a holiday whoopie pie that has a peppermint filling. It's rolled in crushed candy canes with dark cocoa, and it's pretty. And I have an eggnog eggnog gingerbread whoopie pie. I have pumpkin. I know
the pumpkin is terrific. Pumpkin, so. Do you have a Peeps whoopie pie?
And I am not a Peeps person. I heard you talking about that.
I don't know who is. Who are these people that love Peeps?
Know. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I mean, it's hard. You can bake things healthier, which I have done with things like almond flour and almond butter and egg whites and that kind of thing. But with the whoopie pies, I'm keeping them the way they are because I make them on the small side, and it's a treat. You know, you don't have it every day. You don't have it all day. It's a once in a while thing. So
well, with everybody that we've handed out them to, I mean, they are all dying. I can't wait to try one.
I know. Oh, I was just saying you should split them up and put them on your Easter table. But anyway, talking about more tables for the Taste of the Nation, this is probably one of my favorite things that happens the entire year. In that we have a live band, the Lakes Region Big Band. We have a huge silent auction. And if you really are jonesing for my whoopie pies, they will be in the silent auction. And I don't know if Ted Gatsis will be a high bidder this year, because he usually is. But
he's on his diet,
I know.
I don't know.
I know. I'll have to make him some granola instead or something. And it's kind of a hot item, so I'm proud of that. But we also have safari packages, spa packages, local area restaurant gift certificates. Jonathan from Jonathan's Jewelers is a great partner to us, and we are having a special raffle. That raffle tickets can be bought the evening of the event for $20. And he's featuring a diamond pendant that's worth around $2,700. And it's on a beautiful gold chain. And you could actually win this gorgeous diamond necklace for $20.
I love Jonathan. He's my jeweler. He's wonderful.
He's wonderful. Yep. He's a wonderful partner.
Nice man.
To share our strengths, taste the nation. And I look forward to seeing him every year. But we have restaurants, not just from the general Manchester area, but from all over the state. We have the Sugar Hill Inn. We have Campo Winnetka, which I'm really excited about.
At Elm Street here?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Ed Aloisi was one of the first partners of Share Our Strength back in the 80s and 90s, as is Jeff Page from Cotton. And we have local area bars, like we have the Wild Rover. We have also not just restaurant food, but we have, if you like, Michelle's Gourmet Popcorn. She's coming this year. And we have Jake's Old Fashioned Ice Cream, my friend Ronnie Vetter, who not a lot of people know this, but she was a pastry chef at the Ritz-Carlton. And she makes some fabulous, fabulous things. And there aren't a lot of things that I'll buy confection-wise because I want to make them myself, but I love the Red Arrow pies. And and my friend Ronnie makes fabulous ice cream and great shortbread cookies, so I love to see her. So I don't know where else you could go in this area where you could, you know, help a great cause, help a local kid, and taste and sip so many different. We'll have almost 50. I think we're up to 50 restaurants. We have wines and beers from all over the state, craft beers. And we have a VIP section, which will have our friends from Angela's Pasta and Cheese Shop have very generously, again, donated this year an extra large any pasta platter. We'll have premium wine pours also in VIP. And it's a great event. You don't have to dress up. You can come as you are. I've seen people wearing jeans and a nice sweater. I've seen people in gowns. It's kind of whatever you want to make of it. And it's not just people that you'll see at any type of country club. You'll see people from church. You'll see people from all different walks of life, all different ages, over 18, of course. And all coming together for all the right reasons. And I love the energy of the event. I love seeing people get together that haven't perhaps seen each other for a while. And we have Glynis Citarelli from Sweet Shots will be there to take pictures, pictures of different chefs and also some candid photos. And it's a great event. So
can people still get tickets?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. You can go on to tasteofthenation.org/Manchester. Tickets are $50 for general admission, $85 for VIP. Your VIP ticket allows you to enter in at 5 p.m. General admission is at 6 p.m. Again, is on Wednesday, April 15th at the Radisson, 700 Elm Street. And to get more information, if you want, about Share Our Strengths No Kid Hungry program, you can go to nokidhungry.org. And for more information on Taste of the Nation, you can go on Facebook. We're on Taste of the Nation Manchester. And on Twitter, we're at Manchester Taste.
Can people get tickets at the door?
Yes, we will have some. We tend to run out, but we're less than 2 weeks out, so we're encouraging people to get the tickets.
Get them ahead, because don't you usually sell out?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is the state's biggest and best culinary event.
It is. It's have you ever been, Mike?
I have. It's been a few years since I've been. I mean, it reminds me of the bigness of the Winter Wine Spectacular, which of course is more geared toward the beverages, but there's also food, and it's a whole different vibe, of course. But it's,
right.
You know, I always advise people when you go to something like this, pace yourself. It's so easy to walk in and just start grabbing everything you can. At least as a guy, I mean, I just walk up and I just want to start eating. 10 minutes later, you're going, oh, why did I do that?
Well, and if people want to know exactly where their money is going to through Share Our Strength, we have local area beneficiaries that will get the monies from this event that help kids. It's the New Hampshire Farm to School Program, part of UNH in Durham, the New Hampshire Food Bank, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Manchester, and New Hampshire Kids Count in Concord, New Hampshire.
Now, how do you find these particular organizations to designate the money to?
Well, when I joined the organization, it was the top three. The Food Bank and the New Hampshire Kids Count, which then was the New Hampshire Child Alliance, and the New Hampshire Farm to School Program. I lobbied hard to get the Boys and Girls Club of Manchester in there because I knew that there was a great need, and I already knew that they were doing great things for kids throughout the summer, breakfast, and through all their other programs. How they initially got established, I'm not sure. I want to say that they applied for a grant. But I did my own lobbying for the Boys and Girls Club. So, but I know that they all do great programs, have great programs, and also raise awareness for New Hampshire's kids that are struggling with hunger.
All right. So, just to back up a little bit, you do some of the bake sale events during the year.
Yes.
So it's probably too late for somebody who would want to contribute in terms of, you know, something to be a part of Taste of the Nation. But what about people who would like to jump in and be like you when you started as a bake sale person?
They could, absolutely. You can go on to nokidhungry.org or shareourstrength.org, and you can find there are other programs. There's the Cooking Matters program. There's the New Hampshire Dine Out, which local area restaurants will, I believe it's in the month of September, will take a certain percentage of your tab and put it towards the cause. There's many areas if you want to do some volunteering, if you want to have a bake sale, and then there's still time if people want to donate an item for the silent auction for Taste.
Good.
Absolutely. I mean, it is kind of the last push, but we definitely would not turn anyone away. The more the merrier, and the more money we raise, obviously, the better.
Was is the bake sale basically sort of a one weekend or one week thing, or are they staggered through the summer?
They're staggered through the summer because that's the best time to have the most people have a little more time in the spring and summer months. I've already registered for mine for 2015. I did that a few weeks ago, and it'll happen. The portal will be up for the rest of the year. I can accept donations through the rest of the year, but I usually have one day in September right at my home when I do it. So, and people love the actual sale when they come. They like the actual tables and seeing people and balloons and all kinds of, you know, samples, of course.
And you do that out of your house?
Yes.
So it's like one day. So everybody that participates in this bake sale, it happens one day.
Yes. That's how I do it. There could be people that organize things so that they have it outside of a grocery store or maybe in a church parking lot. It's a lot easier for me to manage from my home because it's only people that I know that are on my mailing list that come to my home. And it's people are familiar with me and they know what I'm doing after all these years. And it's easy for me. So I can bake and bake and bake.
Right.
And in fact, the Red Arrow did help me one year with some pies. I decided to get a little smarter about it and ask some of my talented friends who are professional bakers. Could you make me some cookies? And then folks like the Black Forest and the Red Arrow and Michelle's Bakery on the North End. And they were more than happy. Martha, what do you want? I'm like, you know what? I'll take whatever you want to give me. I'm not fussy. And my friend Ronnie from Jake's Old Fashioned Ice Cream. So I would make my own signature dishes, and then I would have their other things. And I'd put out their business cards so that people knew that they were supporting me with this effort.
Make sure I'm on your list.
Okay.
And, I would be more than happy to give you whatever, you know, you want for that. Oh, my
right.
goodness.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I'm glad that I didn't realize that. So I'm glad. Kudos to my, director of operations for for donating that. I'm very happy.
Yes. I forget who I spoke to, but whenever you go into the Red Arrow, your family with somebody, and the folks there are always very nice. So, I appreciate that.
Well, we can take a little break, come back, chat a little bit more about Taste of the Nation, share our strength, which is coming up next, not next Wednesday, Wednesday the 15th, Center of New Hampshire. Tickets are still available. You can take a chance and get them at the door, but best to get them ahead of time, and we'll tell you exactly how. And we'll continue to let you know how you can be a part of the Share Our Strength, No Kid Hungry program, which is so important. Food insecure, I didn't realize that was the term now. 17% of kids find themselves in that position. Not a good one to be in. So we'll be back with more. It's the Pulse Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, 107.7 WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are on 107.7 FM, WTPLFM.com, powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And we are in studio with Martha May Fink, the Hunger Chair of Taste of the Nation Manchester, which is going to be happening not next week, but the week after on April 15th, Wednesday night. And we encourage people to get your tickets ahead of time because they usually do sell out. So not sure about getting them at the door. So if you really want to go, I would suggest that you go to Taste of the Nation.
Yes.
Tasteofthenation.org.
Tasteofthenation.org/Manchester.
There we go. And get your tickets. So it's $50 for a regular admission, which gets you in at 6 o'clock. Or you can pay $85 for VIP, gets you in at 5 o'clock. And you get premium pours of wine if you do that.
So. Premium pours meaning a heavy pour? Probably.
Premium wine.
Oh, I see.
I'm good thinking stuff. Pour.
No box wines at Taste of the Nation.
Like you said earlier, you need to pace yourself.
So yes.
You really do.
Those little sips, they can add up.
They do.
Same thing with the bites.
And it's a pretty well-established event now. I mean, it's been around how many years?
It was started, actually, in the kitchen of Will Kinteris, who I think will always be our honorary chairperson of this event. He was friends with Bill and Debbie Shore back in the 80s. And he, with some other caring, like-minded individuals, just had a dinner in his kitchen. And then they said, you know what, we should turn this into an event and raise money. And it just kind of blossomed from there. And since 1988, Taste of the Nation has raised close to $1 million just in the state of New Hampshire.
Oh, my goodness. So that's a big deal.
Are these local people you're talking about, the founders of it? Or where?
Yes. Some of the early founders were Jeff Page from Cotton, Ed Alois, and Will Kinteris, and I'm not sure of some of the other restaurants back then. I wasn't involved, but it's just gotten bigger and better since then.
And it started by them just sitting, having a meal, and then coming up with it.
Yeah.
And look what it's become, because it really is like the event, almost like the event of the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really definitely is.
Yeah.
Is it in other places as well?
Yes, it's all over the country.
Yeah, I thought so.
All over the country, right in the spring and summer months. Mm-hmm. There's also another event in, there's Maine, there's Boston, there's Portsmouth. But I'm obviously wanted to talk about Manchester because a place that's near and dear to me, and we can help so many kids, not just in Manchester, but in the entire state of New Hampshire by just purchasing a ticket and being a champion for a local kid.
Sponsors helping out as well?
Yes, we have national sponsors, our city, Open Table, Cisco, and the Food Network. And our top local sponsors are the Anagnost Companies, Regency Mortgage Company, and Montaigne Communications, Eastern Bank, Catholic Medical Center, and there are many, many more to list. We also have in-kind donors for our silent auction items. Southwest Airlines has pitched in some tickets this year in case anyone wants to get out of Dodge and make a bid on that. And we have local photographers, spa packages, restaurants, safari tickets, whoopie pies.
Well, you know what, listeners, if nothing else, I think you need to get a ticket and go just to bid on these whoopie pies. Because, I mean, I was watching everybody eating them around here, and it's so delectable. I mean, it's fabulous. It really, really is. I mean, a whoopie pie is a whoopie pie, but this is not a whoopie pie. It's not your normal whoopie pie. It really isn't. You can tell it's...
Yeah, there's lots of love in there. I was just going to say,
it's definitely made with love, and it's really, well, really
tell
good.
Tell us, Amy, the name of your, I guess, trademark or your brand, even though
you're not a business, but
it's a great name. It's clever.
Yes, it's kind of my little tool for my philanthropy. It's called Martha Made It, and it's Made is spelled like my middle name, which is M-A-Y. And years ago, I would experiment with different recipes and different things that I would bring in. And someone would say, oh, you got to go in the conference room or the kitchen. You got to try this. And they're like, well, what is it? I don't know, but Martha made it. And
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
It's good. You got to try it. Martha made it. So something just kind of snapped in me. And I said, oh, if I ever had a business, I think I would call it Martha Made It. So instead of just waiting and waiting and waiting, I said, you know what? I'm just going to establish my trade name. I'm going to go online and design some labels and ribbons and just kind of have fun with it. So I kind of use that. I support other organizations, too, like the March of Dimes. We were talking about Richard Maynard and his scholarship fund, and people will call me all the time and say, Martha, can you make something for this? And can you put together one of those baskets? And I want to see how much money we get for it. And I said, absolutely. So I support many other organizations just by using this as a vehicle for doing that.
Good for you. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, I mean, you have another job, so you're not, I don't want to say just a baker, but I mean, you, like, how long have you been making whoopie pies? Like,
long,
has it been
long
a long,
time.
So it's been a long time, and you've just kind of perfected the recipe, and like you said, you've changed it over the years. And
Right. Yes, I have a very busy job for a mutual fund company, and they keep me very busy. And I'm also a military wife, so I have that kind of, I don't want to say stress, but I have that commitment, I'll say. And so I like to bake in my free time. And most of that is, you know, late at night or early in the mornings. It just helps me think. It makes me happy. I love the smell of something baking in the oven, whether it's a chicken or a batch of whoopie pies. It's just, I don't know, it's just a nice, secure feeling I get. And knowing that I'm helping the greater good by making these things, it just makes it a big win-win for me.
Now, how often do you eat your whoopie pies?
Do you
like just whip up a batch for your family? Like, does your daughter, your husband, they...
You know, it's so funny because a lot of people that meet my family said, oh, your mom is the best baker and you must be so happy. They're like, you know what? 98% of what she makes flies out the door.
So they don't
get
me.
You know, if there's one that doesn't look quite right or it's too small or, you know, there's a batch that, did, you know, was in the oven maybe
so they
a
get
little
the rejects.
Too long. Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, I'll have a sample of something, but it's hard. You know, I'm a girl that's getting older with every year and finding that I have to, you know, kind of cut back on that flour and sugar. And, oh, I love it so much. It's hard.
It's really, really good.
You know what?
Oh, my goodness.
You would never say this, but I do know that you were you've received some nice acknowledgments, and weren't you, or didn't you go to Washington D.C. to receive a really nice award within a couple years? Because I know you'd never bring that up, but I do remember that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, in 2009, I was nominated. I'm still not sure who nominated me, but as a community leader for the what was then called the Great American Bake Sale. And I went to Washington, and we did a little tour in the city, and it was my first actual conference. And so working at the company that I do, I send a lot of folks that, you know, on trips and conferences, and I'd never actually experienced what one was like. And you go from meeting to meeting, and you meet all these people that have the same passion that you do, and they're working hard for the same cause that you are. And it's just a great, I get tingles thinking about it. It was just a great energy. And I got to see Bill Shore and his sister Debbie again, who are the founders of Share Our Strength. And George Stephanopoulos talked. And anyway, so I got the award. I was nominated. I got the award. And it was kind of emotional. And I tried not to, you know, I thought, oh, Martha, don't screw this up. And I actually read my acceptance speech was a note that my daughter tucked in my purse. And she had quoted Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. And it was perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was in the plane, and I unwrapped this very neatly folded note from my daughter, and I thought, I wish she'd neatly fold everything.
Yeah.
But, and it was, you know, I see the kids in the streets without enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their need? I thought, oh my gosh, this is great. So I didn't think I would get the award, but I did. And so I stood up there and I said, here we go. So, and I said it without cracking and choking up. And there was actually a person who worked with the Michael Jackson family from California that was in the audience that night. So, and then after I did the speech, they actually played a snippet of the song, and it kind of played well into why I do it. So it was perfect, but it was a great experience. And I've been back since. I went back in 2013, and Melissa D'Arabian was one who actually came to Taste of the Nation that year, was also at this conference.
She's great. I love her. I love her.
She can talk the talk because she was a child. She was a hungry child growing up.
Yeah.
So,
didn't realize that.
Yes. And it's very hard. A lot of people don't want to discuss it, but she absolutely will. And that's why she can make dinner.
She's real.
She's real. Yeah. Very attainable. And occasionally we'll contact each other on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. So that's kind of neat. But no, she's a great energy, great person. And she's a perfect person to talk to this cause.
Well, this is a good way to go out. That was a great story. I didn't realize that. But that kind of made this interview for me to hear that the story of your daughter writing your acceptance speech from the Michael Jackson songbook.
Yes.
Martha May Fink, Share Our Strengths, No Kid Hungry program. It's the Taste of the Nation coming up on the 15th at the Center of New Hampshire. tasteofthenation.org/Manchester to get information on the local event. Thank you for the whoopie pies. You've made everybody's day here in the Beacon Building.
Unbelievable. Really. Amazing.
That's a lot.
I'm going to bid on the box.
Yeah.
Well, that means a lot coming from you, Carol.
No, Thank you. Oh my gosh.
Thanks, Martha. It was really good to see you again.
Nice to see you, too.
All right. We'll
nice
be back. Going to talk to Bodie Peters all about the business of maple sugaring next here on the Pulse. Food for Thought, WTPL.
Oh, maple sugaring. They haven't.
Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can check us out on the web at WTPLFM.com, streaming live, powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And welcome back. That was a great segment. Her whoopie pies, I'm telling you. I cannot even believe you didn't even have one.
Well, I've been fighting. Well, I'm sick this week, and you don't have the appetite that you normally do. But I will certainly take some home.
Definitely. Look at the box. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she definitely has it going on from the marketing, the packaging, and her heart
is
in the right place. She really is involved. I mean, she is, as I say, all in on fighting hunger and those that are hunger insecure. And there's, you know, these are the people that seem to get swept under the rug because either we don't see them, they're invisible, and that's the case with a lot of economically deprived people is they just kind of become invisible. Well, we're very happy to welcome onto the program this afternoon a gentleman who is, you don't know his name, but he certainly has a large influence on the maple syrup business right here in New Hampshire. You know, maple syrup production is a big business in the Granite State, yet many growers feel that their products need greater exposure in the marketplace. That's one of the many challenges that face the New Hampshire Maple Producers Association and its president, Bowden Peters, owner of Bo's Sugar Shack in Sugar Hill. Other challenges include the ever-present threat of a beetle infestation, supply-demand price swings that could rival other commodities like oil. Peters, like the vast majority of maple producers, sugar part-time while earning a living as a driver for UPS. 800 tree taps, 200 gallons a year as we welcome Bodie Peters. Bodie has the sappy gun running because typically you wouldn't have time to talk to us, you know, in a normal year, would you?
Well, yesterday it was 8 above here, and 5 o'clock last night, it was up over 40 degrees.
Whoa.
And the sun came out. And so sap ran all night, and we're boiling today.
Good.
Well, thank you for taking the time, because I know that probably this is where it has to happen. In fact, you actually schedule your work vacation from UPS during these periods of maple sugaring, and if things don't sync up, then that's not good for you.
Well, that means I shut the sugar house down and I have to go back to work.
Oh, man. So, you know, we talked a couple of days ago to a fellow maple sugarer of yours, Ed Fuller, I'm sure you know Ed.
In Lancaster?
Yes.
Yes, yes. I know who he is.
And we talked a little bit about the fact that maple sugaring has found a new standardized grading system, and he seemed to think that it works pretty well, and it's been a long time since they've really readjusted the grades, the color, the density, and all that. Do you feel that it's working well, Bodie?
Well, this is the transition here in New Hampshire, but my feeling is it's going to be great to have every state in the United States that makes maple syrup grading syrup the same way. And every province in Canada calling it all the same thing. Instead of everybody's their own idea what maple syrup really is. It's a 10-year effort to get everybody to comply.
Well, you know, that would be like dairy. I mean, you've got, how could you not have a standard national basis? Are there a few holdouts yet, Bodie, that just haven't gotten on board yet? Or do you think they'll all be in the pack before long?
Well, a lot of us sat back and said, if Vermont does it, the rest of us are going to follow it. Well, Vermont did it last year. They implemented it. New Hampshire followed the following year. And there's a few other states that have followed, and there's going to be even more next year. Some of them are no transition period. As soon as January 1st comes around, you change. We gave our producers a year to get everything figured out in their sugar house. So some of them are going to be using the old system this year. Some are going to be new in the new system. But the consumers all like the new system. That's where it was brought about, for the consumer, that they can understand it better.
And that's the important thing, right? It's what the consumer thinks, and if they can understand it, that they can feel comfortable buying a particular grade of maple syrup that maybe they weren't as clear about before.
Yes, and ultimately that we're selling to the consumers, not other producers. So if it's easier for them, I'm all for it.
All right, so the weather hasn't been great. Now that it's starting to happen, will this be a good year? How many weeks do you need of friendly weather to get your annual yield where you'd like it to be?
Well, last year I did it in 11 days. The
wow.
year before it was 6 weeks. This year it might be a week and a half.
Now, is it starting right now? Is that when you're starting now, or have you already started?
We started actually boiling on March 26th, and it was consistent for like 5 days, but we didn't have much sap. This is the biggest run of sap that I've had in the past week, but this weekend it's going to turn down to 32 degrees and colder.
Oh, gosh.
There's another cold front coming through beginning of next week, so that's going to shut me down again.
So what do? Just kind of go out and make sure that everything is in working order? You've got it's a vacuum tubing system, right, that drives all the sap into the production area?
Yes, but it's very hard to check vacuum leaks when everything's froze tight. If there was something major, I could find it. But the small leaks, you don't find them until it's thawed. And right now I'm hoping for the best. Everything's good.
You and I spoke recently for an interview for New Hampshire Business Review, and you brought something up I wasn't really aware of, and that is promotion needs to be better for your industry. In other words, there's too many people getting in, but not enough retail outlets, which, of course, would definitely greatly affect pricing, which could hurt people. So explain that dynamic a little bit, if you would.
We're seeing a 10 to 15% growth every year of people getting into maple sugaring, and it's not the small operators, it's these big operators. In time, if it doesn't balance out, there's going to be a surplus of maple syrup here in the U.S., and that could really affect prices. The cost of equipment keeps going up every year, the cost of fuel goes up, everything else, but if the price of syrup is not met somewhere, it's going to be very hard to actually pay for equipment.
So Bodie, how do you create new outlets or new awareness for your product, which people love and go crazy for, but it seems like there's not always as much awareness as you would like?
Lots of marketing. And it's not just marketing here. It's introducing people in areas that don't normally use maple syrup because they don't grow up around it. Introduce it to them and see if they like it and show them different ways to have it just besides on pancakes.
All right, so who? Canada, though, is the largest producer of maple syrup, right?
Yes.
And I think people probably don't realize, because maybe they never thought about it, sort of like the oil cartel, there are huge, vast storage supplies of maple syrup. Is that scattered around Canada, or how does that work?
I've never been up to see it myself, but I understand the Federation keeps up with the 20 million pounds in storage as a cash reserve for them, mm-hmm. and to offset the years that the rest of the world doesn't produce as much maple syrup. And all the packers keep a small reserve on hand just in case there is a bad season, which is great. But if there's too much in reserve, it reflects the price on the wholesale end. Now, if there's a big reserve left over from 2014, they may lower the prices this year of wholesale syrup to offset it until some of the older syrup is used up.
How long can you keep it in storage before you just have to throw it out?
In a refrigerated unit, I've heard they've kept syrup upwards of 15 years.
In
a stainless barrel, in a refrigerated room.
Didn't know that. All right, so talk to me about something, and I don't think we discussed it when we did the other interview, that I just recently became aware of, was this giant maple syrup heist that I don't think ever became a whole lot of news, other than people like you. Years ago, some trucks came in and offloaded a ton of maple syrup in one of the Canadian storage facilities. That was strange.
I heard that a bunch of syrup came up missing, and I never really heard where it ended up, for certain.
But
they said it was gone.
I know, but in today's world of surveillance everywhere, and I mean, it would have been a number of trucks that would have come, because it's in maple, it's in barrels, I think. And how do you get millions of gallons of maple syrup undetected and then spread out over the marketplace, however that was done? It just blew my mind. It sounds like a movie to me that needs to be made.
It's beyond me. If I knew how to do that, I think I'd find another job.
Well, it's time to wrap up, believe it or not, already. I just wanted to touch base and say hello, see how things are going. The New Hampshire Maple Producers Association president is Bowden Peters, and that's Bo Sugar Shack, correct?
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking a few moments out when things are getting a little busy today. It was really good to talk to you again.
It was great talking to you.
Thanks, Bowden. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
All right, you are listening to Food for Thought, and up next is Kale and Company, who we haven't seen Ken for a while here. He hasn't been here all week. He must be busy with the Monarchs, I'm not sure. But Kale and Company, and it's the weekend. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, and we'll see everybody next week. Bye-bye.